Good evening. I'd like to call the January 2nd, 2018 legislature meeting to order. Would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll take the roll call now. Ms. Black,
here.
Ms. Black, sorry,
here.
Ms. Champion,
here.
Ms. Dawson,
here.
Mr. Granison,
here.
Mr. John,
here.
Ms. Kellis,
here.
Mr. Klein,
here.
Ms. Corbin,
here.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Maury?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
14 members present. I'd like to now introduce our Tompkins County Clerk, Maureen Reynolds. She will be administering the oath of office for legislators.
Woohoo!
Welcome. If I could have everyone please stand and raise your right hand. So I'll start and then just repeat after me. I state your name.
I
do solemnly swear.
That
I will support the Constitution of the United States.
I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New York.
The Constitution of the State of New York.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties. Of Tompkins County Legislator. To the best of your ability. Thank you. Now we're going to run around and grab your cards and welcome.
Thank you very much, Maureen. The first order of business this evening is the election of the temporary chair. I'd like to open up the floor for nominations. Mr. Lane?
I nominate Leslie McBean Claiborne.
Is there a second?
I second.
Ms. Dawson? Are there any other nominations? May I have a motion to close nominations, please?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Robertson, seconded by Mr. John. All those in favor of closing nominations, signify with aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. We will now vote on the election of Ms. McBean Claiborne as temporary chair. All those in favor, please signify with aye. Raise your hands.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That's carried. Mrs. McBean Claiborne.
Thank you. Well, y'all know y'all can do better than that. I'm never going to be up here. Thank you for the nomination to be temporary chair. I even wear my nice scarf just for this moment. If I can keep it up, you know, this acts as a rising thing doesn't work. So the duties of the temporary chair will come later, because I have a couple of executive orders that I'd like to sign and pass. Beginning with, the temporary chair will be the permanent chair of the legislature for the next 4 years. It's already signed. There's no vote. There's no nothing. That's an executive order. There will not be a vice chair. That's my next executive order. Already signed and done. Thank you for the honor.
Great. Wonderful.
Pardon me?
Business done.
Oh, did y'all vote unanimously for that? Oh, thank you. Thank you. So those of you who were considering running for chair or vice chair, forget it. It's not happening on this body today.
Is that a tweet?
Oh, shoot. Can I have my phone? That's more than 26 characters. I can't tweet. I don't know how to tweet. Frank Proto did this often, my buddy Frank Proto, as a temporary chair of the legislature, and always had some fun things to say. So I figured today is my day to issue some executive orders. Again, thank you for the privilege. The nature of my work probably means that I'm never going to have this opportunity again. So I'm going to suck it up. Did everybody take pictures? Family, did you take pictures? My good side? No, this side. Got it? Thank you. My role today actually is to begin with calling for the nomination of chair of the legislature for this body for 2018. And so I'm going to open the floor for nominations. Shauna.
It is my distinct honor to nominate Martha Robertson as chair of the 2018 Tompkins County Legislature. Martha has personally mentored me and others on this legislature. I am nominating Martha because she has previously held chair for 4 years. That is important with 5 new legislators. Martha has a deep passion for our community, and her distinct leadership are a necessity in the upcoming year.
Do I get editorial comments as a temporary chair? No? All right. May I ask for a second? Rich, seconded by Rich John.
I'm happy to second Martha's nomination. Certainly Martha has tremendous experience and a remarkable work ethic, and we all know her and have worked with her over the past many years and look forward to a very good year in 2018.
Thank you, Rich. Are there other nominations? Seeing no other nominations, we will close nominations for chair. Oh, I got to do that too. Now, let's take it to a vote. Is that my next move? All those in favor of Martha Robertson for chair of the Tompkins County Legislature for the year 2018, please signify by raising your hands. Looks like it's unanimous. Martha voted for herself, by the way. No oppositions, no abstentions. That is carried. Martha, congratulations on being elected again chair of the Tompkins County Legislature. We look forward to your leadership in 2020. On that note, my role here is done. Thank you all. Martha.
Take your name tag, Martha. No, Martha should take her.
That's okay. We'll deal with that later. Okay. Did you break it? Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Leslyn. Thank you, Shauna and Rich. Thank you all very much. Especially thanks to Mike Lane for 4 years of stellar leadership as our chair. I think you've been a rock for all of us and really very important for the legislature, and we appreciate your service and your continued service. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
And now falls to me the duty of carrying out the election for vice chair. Are there any nominations for vice chair of this body? I will go to Mike Lane.
I'm very pleased tonight to nominate for vice chair our current or most recent past vice chair, Dan Klein. Had the privilege of serving with Dan as I was chair, and he's been vice chair for the past 2 years. Got to know him pretty well. Been very impressed by Dan's solid leadership. He's always been willing to take on difficult tasks that required a lot of investigation. As chair of the Government Operations Committee, he has done everything from trying to reorganize how we do privilege of the floor on this in this group to whether or not we should have fireworks and allowed in Tompkins County. Dan has met with the county administrator and me on a regular basis, has kept up to date on things. He's done intermunicipal work with the city of Ithaca, particularly on the parks program. He's been out there in front asking questions and trying to be the kind of person that we need in the leadership of this legislature. So I'm very pleased to recommend him.
Is there a second? Seconded by Glenn. Did you want to add anything?
Well, I'd just like to reiterate what Mike just said. Dan's done a wonderful job this year, and I appreciate his support that he's given me.
Thank you, Glenn. I saw Leslin before. Leslin McBean-Claiborne.
Yes, thank you. I am going to nominate Anna Kellis for vice chair of this illustrious body of the legislature. I have had the privilege of getting to know Anna over the last couple of years and find Anna to be amazingly driven. When she sets her mind to something, she certainly is going after it. She's definitely working towards making sure that the needs of those who she represents and for this county are met. I haven't found a project that Anna says that she'll take on that she has not completed, and I value that in her. So, Anna, thank you for asking me to do this, although I, you know, my quip, I did say no. I actually am an honored to make this nomination.
Thank you, Leslin. Is there a second to Anna's nomination? Deborah Dawson, would you like to make any remarks?
I second Anna's nomination. It's my privilege to do so. As you all know, I've spent 2 years lurking in this chamber, during which time I've watched Anna jump in, get her feet solidly under herself, and find ways to use her compassion and skills to help everyone, including the neediest and most vulnerable of our citizens. I believe her passion and commitment will be increasingly valuable as we head into very uncertain times ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Are there any other nominations? Can I get a motion to close nominations? Moved by Deborah, seconded by Rich. Ready to vote then? Signify by raising your hand. I'll ask for first Dan and then Anna.
Wait a minute. We're voting on closing nominations?
Thank you.
Yes.
A little rusty here. All right. All in favor of closing nominations, please raise your hand. That's unanimous. All right. So first I'll ask for Dan.
I'm going to ask for a roll call and have each person indicate who he or she is voting for.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Are we doing that right now? I'd like to hear some discussion if anybody wants to speak. Or I would like to ask a question, if that's all right.
Very well. Go for it.
No, I mean, I really have, I like you both. I really don't know who I'm voting for. So, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to know why both of you kind of want the position, or if you have surrogates who want to say, hey, I want this guy or this gal because of this reason. I would love to hear that, because I really don't know which one of you to choose. So.
Thank you for that, Mike.
Very good. Anyone? Go in the order of nomination, Dan and Anna. And then anybody else would be welcome to join.
I view the positions of chair and vice chair as positions of service to the legislature itself. And I view the position of vice chair as someone that is quietly in the background taking care of the things that need taken care of, filling in the gaps where they need filling in. I am not someone that tries to take center stage very often and make speeches. I'm more the person that listens, tries to discern what the needs are, and find a way to solve those problems. So I've been doing this for 2 years. I'm interested in continuing to fill that role, and that's what I'm asking for your support for.
Lights didn't have to dance today.
I'm wondering if we have, like, stage lights coming on now, spotlight coming on.
Anna.
So I have been part of the legislature for several years. I have made this the central part of my life because I'm very passionate about the work that we do. I think that people do know that about me. I'm very interested in learning more and more and more. For me, that's an endless process. And I think that this role very much depends on the legislative body. It very much depends on the leadership, and it very much depends on what's happening in the times. I think that it requires that someone is very flexible, very committed, very dedicated. Absolutely requires sometimes that the person is the shadow in support of everything that the legislature is trying to do. And sometimes it's a wingman going to Albany. Sometimes it's listening to the legislature to see what the legislature needs at any given time. Those are the qualities that I hope to bring. I very much enjoyed chairing HHS. That has helped me get my hands into a lot of what's going on in the community, a lot of the needs in the community, and so I feel very connected. And that will be something that I will bring to this role. And I think the most important thing is focusing on trying to bring everybody together.
Thank you both. Would anybody else like to add comments or ask questions? Okay. No questions, Mike?
No, I guess not.
Okay. All right. Are we ready to vote? So we'll do a roll call.
Right. So I just call each member's name. And
Ms. Black.
Anna Kellis.
Amanda Champion.
Anna Kellis.
Deborah Dawson.
Anna Kellis.
Henry Granison.
Dan Klein.
Rich John.
Dan Klein.
Anna Kellis.
Anna Kellis.
Dan Klein.
Dan Klein.
Ann Corman.
Anna Kellis.
Mike Lane.
Dan Klein.
Leslyn McBean Claiborne.
Anna Kellis.
Dave McKenna.
Dan Klein.
Glenn Morey.
Dan Klein.
Mike Sigler.
Dan Klein.
Martha Robertson.
Anna Kellis.
Seven votes for Anna Kellis, seven votes for Dan Klein.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Dan.
I would like to withdraw my name from consideration and I guess ask for another, for a new vote.
Thank you very much, Dan. All right. With that said, the only candidate at present is Anna Kellis. Correct? Do we need a roll call? All right. All in favor of Anna Kellis for vice chair of the legislature for 2018. That appears to be unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
And Dan, I want to thank you for your service as vice chair. I think it is important that that you've been there, that you've been a steady presence and always available to answer questions and to bring issues forward. And we really deeply appreciate that and look forward to your leadership on at least one committee in the coming year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. All right. With that, our next next issue, well, I should say proclamations, petitions, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
Thank you. We have a special opportunity today with our poet laureate is John. I'm looking for John Spence. There you go. John Spence is director of the Community Arts Partnership, and we'll introduce our poet laureate for 2018.
Thank you, Martha. Happy New Year, everybody. The purpose of art is nothing less than is the uplifting of the human spirit. So said Pope John Paul II. perhaps a little closer to earth. The purpose of art is washing the dust of daily life off our souls, so said Pablo Picasso. We have all been very fortunate to have Irene Zahava as Tompkins County's Poet Laureate in 2017. She is an artist, and through her readings and her publications this year, she has lifted many spirits and dusted many souls. If Z did nothing more than share the many products of her own creativity, we would be in her debt. But through her well-attended writing workshops, her active promotion of other poets, and her open invitations to contribute to collective writing projects, she expands her own impact and invites us all to explore the artist that's within us. Robert Motherwell said, "Art is much less important than life, but how poor life would be without it." I would like to publicly thank at this time Z for her work as Poet Laureate in 2017 and say that she is one of the reasons that I am very much looking forward to 2018. May I introduce the Poet Laureate.
Thank you, John, and welcome, Z. Welcome back.
Thank you so much,
Martha. We deeply appreciate your service to us and look forward to another year.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Martha, and thank you to all the county representatives for confirming my nomination as the 2018 Poet Laureate. It has been an incredible honor for me to serve in this role for the past year, and I have many new plans for ways to continue as an ambassador and an advocate for the written and spoken word over the coming months. I'm grateful for the opportunity I had in 2017 to write and to share writing with people of all ages in a variety of places, both expected and unusual. Just a few examples. There was a lovely intergenerational workshop this summer as part of the Ithaca Festival held at GIAC. Writing circles on the theme of food with members of Lifelong and with the congregation of Tikkun V'Or. A workshop inspired by the old books and new art at the Bookery. And the sharing of stories about our own precious possessions at the History Center in Tompkins County. It was also a treat to write with artists and with people who enjoy visual arts in response to paintings, sculptures, photographs, textiles in a number of different exhibition locations. My plans for the coming year will bring me to libraries around the county, into the public schools, and back to some of my favorite area hotspots, the Tompkins County Public Library, the CAP Art Space, the State of the Art Gallery, our wonderful independent bookstore, Buffalo Books, to name just a few. Last year at this time, I quoted the poet activist Elsa Gidlow, and I want to share that quote with you again this evening because it is a motto for me. And I try to keep these words in my mind each time I meet with a new group of people who are bravely facing a blank sheet of paper. Elsa said, "We consider the artist a special kind of person. It is more likely that each of us is a special sort of artist." So now I would like to share a poem with you, all of you special artists. I wrote this last winter, and it's called Bengal Spice Tea. At 12:10 on the coldest day of the year, bundled in layers to ward off winter, you and I head down a snowy path. It is our choice. No one is making us do this. We go willingly, but not uncomplainingly. We do it because it's supposed to be good for us, walking, even in the cold, even if we hate it. We call it trudging, the way we move, one short step at a time. We are not in a hurry. We never hurry. We say we are too old to hurry. 12:10, a good time to set out, morning chores behind us, the heart of the afternoon, right here, surrounding us. Later we will have tea and buttered toast. We might shell pistachios. I wonder if there are any figs left. Wait, That is in the land of future maybe. And we are practicing being in the present now. The present now that shifts second by second. So if either of us checked our watch, which we do not, we would see that it is no longer 10 past 12. It is 15 or maybe even 20 minutes beyond noon. Noon is just a memory. Now is the cold air of this moment, the wind burning your eyes, my fingertips cold, though I had high hopes for these new gloves. You will not wear a scarf. You simply will not. But you do own a hat with ear flaps, and you are wearing it. I wear a sweater and a vest under my coat. I waddle. You are more sure-footed, not quite as layered. You don't complain that I complain. I have not stopped complaining since we left the house. I don't mention that you are sniffling and not using a hanky. I say, we are two odd ducks. You laugh. You don't quack, though I suspect you want to. It's too cold to quack. A quack would freeze midway in the air between us. When we get to the end of the path, we can turn right or left if we want to continue. But we do not want to continue. So we turn around and head back in the direction of home. It is no longer an orange-red day. It has become a blue-green day with patches of white that are neither snowflakes nor clouds. Once we are home, wearing only our indoor layers and our noses have warmed up, you kiss me on my forehead, and I kiss you on your forehead. And then you go to make the toast. I put the kettle on. It will be Bengal spice tea today. I dedicate that poem to my darling, Martha Blue Waters, and I thank you so much for listening, and I wish you a wonderful year, and all the new members of this body, may it be an especially good year for you. Thank you all for serving our community, our county, in this amazingly dedicated way. Your efforts are so appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Z. I think I'm going to go look for Bengal spice tea in the cupboard tomorrow. We're going to need it for a few more days, at least. That was a joy. Please come back anytime. We will invite you specifically, but don't feel you need an invitation. Just come anytime. Thank you. And now I wanted to ask for a brief executive session after the main legislature meeting to discuss a contract issue. And I would like to take a moment for a special proclamation that is not on the agenda, but it is why I'm wearing blue. And a few others of us found our blue things because Ithaca College, we're going to have to figure out what are all the colors of all the other employers in town, because our musical chairs here for county administrator is about to change again. Paula Younger is, Paula's last legislature meeting with us. Ithaca College colors are blue and white, so that's to explain in case anybody doesn't know that. They know now. So I would just like to read something in recognition of Paula E.F. Younger's years of service to Tompkins County. Whereas Paula E.F. Younger has served the residents of Tompkins County as Deputy County Administrator since 2006, and whereas in her 11 years in county government, Paula has taken on a wide variety of roles in disparate areas of county business, serving as needed and accepting whatever challenges were given to her. And whereas among her many accomplishments with Tompkins County, Paula helped to establish the Greater Tompkins County Municipal Health Insurance Consortium by securing grant funding from New York State. And whereas in 2009, Paula spearheaded development of our comprehensive proposal to the federal government for shovel-ready ARRA projects. Remember when the federal government was giving out money? A process in which she changed every county, engaged every county municipality to solicit their ideas. And whereas Paula shared her grant writing skills with other county staff by developing a grants development and management center, putting a wealth of resources at their fingertips. And whereas working with the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Paula provided key leadership in establishing the county's first diversity and inclusion policy. And whereas for several years, Paula provided essential support to the countywide broadband initiative, pulling together municipal leaders as well as community experts, leading to a successful proposal by Clarity Connect for major state funding. And whereas tackling a long-neglected task, Paula developed the protocol for updating our administrative policy manual and took on the job of revising and renewing our policies. And whereas Paula developed and led the workforce reading and discussion program for county staff and was project leader for the 2015 climate survey. And whereas in a difficult time for law enforcement in the county, Paula was able to secure technical assistance from the U.S. Department of Justice in response to the Hornbrook Road incident. And whereas Paula's grant writing skills helped us secure a New York State grant for the Law Enforcement Shared Services Study. And whereas, when we needed someone to develop and manage the county's corporate compliance program, Paula was the go-to person once again. And whereas Ithaca College has offered Paula an exciting opportunity, and she will be leaving Tompkins County Government as of January 10, 2018, to become Executive Director for Government and Community Relations at Ithaca College. And whereas Paula's broad knowledge of the governmental structure and governmental and agency program in Tompkins County, as well as the people in our community that work within these systems, make her wonderfully suited for this new opportunity. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Tompkins County Legislature, on behalf of grateful staff and community, congratulates Paula E.F. Younger on her new position and thanks her for her dedication and service to our constituents and to the cause of good government. And resolved further that we wish Paula the very best success in her new role and look forward to continuing to work with her collaboratively to build upon the positive community relationship between Ithaca College and Tompkins County in the years to come. Paula, thank you for everything. You want to make a speech?
Listen, I will say this is bittersweet. This is work that I have enjoyed. You have challenged me. You have developed me. You have given me numerous opportunities to learn and share with my county colleagues as well as members of the community. And that's exactly what I am looking forward to doing when I go up on the Hill. So I do not want to say goodbye. This is definitely just looking forward to seeing you when I put on my blue suit. But thank you all very much. This has been so sweet. The only whereas you didn't talk about was the grayer hair that's come in with all
we
of us.
We don't talk about that at all, Paul.
Thank you so much.
It's been an honor and a pleasure, and we're going to get on your calendar real soon.
I'm sure you will.
Great. Thank you so much. Now, yes, Rich.
Can we vote on that?
Do we vote on it? Well, it was meant to be a proclamation. It ended up being written as a resolution. Why don't we all vote on that?
Let's
sure.
Vote
all in favor of that resolution or proclamation or whatever. That is very unanimous.
Does that mean she stays?
I don't think so. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Very, very unanimous. With that, I think we're ready for privilege of the floor for the public, right? We have one. Okay. I have Alan Donahue. Wonderful. Come to step to the mic. You have 3 minutes, and we ask that you, the rules include, I agreed not to raise my voice. I agreed not to use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language, or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of the peace. I agreed not to speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about the job performance, about named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, I agree to leave the microphone and yield the floor. Transferring time to another person is not permitted. And I agree that if I cause a disruption and am asked to leave, I will leave the chambers. Hello, Alan. So we don't expect that at all, but I had to read that.
Absolutely.
My name's Al Donahue. I grew up in Tompkins County, graduated from high school down here in 64. And in 1966, I was in the infantry in Vietnam. And it is partly related to that that I'm here today. I'd like the county to do something that is not going to cost any money, that will enhance the reputation of the area as a progressive, enlightened area, and combat a form of official racism. And that is, I'd like the county to take down the POW MIA flags that fly over county offices. On your desk are two bits of information. One is from the Atlantic Monthly from 1991, December, and the other is from the Book Press here in Ithaca in 1992. They contain a wealth of information about the topic. The POW issue was used by President Nixon to extend the war for 4 years. After the war ended, issue was used to deny normal relations with the Vietnamese for another 18 years. And the issue was very political, so I'm asking you to do something to fight some bad politics and stuff. But on one of the sentences out of this brochure that I'm giving you, or the article, was put out by a government committee in 1996. It was the final report of Sonny Montgomery's committee, and it says his conclusions were unequivocal conclusions that, quote, no Americans are still being held alive as prisoners in Indochina or elsewhere as a result of the war in Indochina, end quote, and that, quote, because of the nature and circumstances in which many Americans were lost in combat in Indochina, a total accounting by the Indochinese government is not possible and should not be expected, end quote. That's about it. I just wonder, when I see that flag, what I think of is all the veterans who ended up in American prisons. And there's no evidence for the Vietnamese or Laotians or Cambodians holding any that are alive, whatever. So I wonder what message that flag is putting out and stuff. So thank you very much. I hope you take it down, and you can give it to the local chapter of Vietnam Veterans of America. They are still dealing with the issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Donahue. Is there any other member of the public who'd like to speak? All right, municipal officials. I saw ducks in here. Oh, George? Hey, George. Welcome, George McGonigal from the City of Ithaca.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Common Council and Mayor Myrick, I'd like to congratulate all the new members of the board. And Ms. Younger, best of luck in your new job. We respect you very much. And Mike, thank you for your leadership. It's been a pleasure to get to know you. And Dan, also, thank you for your service. And congratulations on your new positions as chair and vice chair.
Thank you, George.
I have two things. One, last time I was here, I didn't have much to say about the LEAD program, and I said I'd come back with more information. Developing two working groups to put this together is in the process. One group is called the Policy Coordinating Group, and it has representatives from the city, from the county, from the DA's office, from the Public Defender's Office, from a group called the National LEAD Support Bureau, and a couple other groups within the county. The other group is more difficult to describe. They're still being created. It's more of a grassroots group that will help demonstrate trust in this new program among users. I talked to the mayor today, and he said he's looking for about 2 months to really get these things together from now. And there's a young woman named Catherine Celentano, who's, I believe, sent you an email about all this in November, and she's probably the best person to talk to about how things are going with this. So that's one thing. The other thing is actually something I'm trying to work on, and that is when Spectrum took over for Time Warner as our cable provider, one of the first things that happened was WENY out of Elmira was dropped from basic cable. WENY was channel 18, and it is the only TV station that I'm aware of that we get that covers local politics, local high school sports, local issues for Tompkins County and the city of Ithaca, local national politics, the congressional race, the state Senate race, the assembly races. And so, in my opinion, that was a big mistake by Spectrum. And what we're trying to do is get them to reverse that decision. And I've spoken with actually Congressman Reed's office and Senator O'Mara's office. They're both interested in working with us. And I would like to ask you on the Tompkins County Legislature to support this idea to bring back this very important source of local news. You can actually still get it on a real channel 1,210 if you have like a really expensive cable package, but it's no longer on the basic cable. In fact, channel 18 is blank. I don't understand why they did it, but they did it. So we've put together a letter to Spectrum. I will forward that to you so you can read it, and then I would ask that hopefully you could pass a resolution in support in the near future. So thank you.
Thanks very much, George. Both important updates. Mike?
In that letter, if I may make a recommendation to you guys, is that WENY, the reason they were probably dropped is we're not part of their DMA, we're part of the Syracuse DMA.
That is the reason that was given.
So maybe another suggestion for you, another path to go, is for Spectrum to actually station somebody here like they used to. I mean, they used to produce a whole show here. And Spectrum could certainly field a reporter down here if they have the money to do so. And that way, we would get local coverage. It would just be on Spectrum, whatever they're... I don't know what they're calling that anymore. It used to be... What was the local cable? New York City has New York One. We used to have something along those lines. And this is just a suggestion.
I guess we're looking for more than that. We want coverage of local high school sports. We want coverage of all the local political organizations.
Well, I'll be happy to start a TV station for you if the city wants to put some money in. I can.
Any other questions or comments? Shauna?
Hi there, George. I was wondering, can you update us a little bit about the funding with LEED? I know that there was, at one point, they were struggling with finding the financing, and they were short quite a bit of money. Do you know if that's been secured?
I do not know the answer to that question.
Okay. Thank you.
Anna?
Just one question. My understanding with the template, there are three committees, not two. The third one are the caseworkers and social services. Do you know if that's something that Sante has on? I know there are conversations about it. That was part of the template. So I was curious if you had heard about the third one.
I can't answer that question either.
Anyone else? On the spectrum issue, the TCOG, Tompkins County Council of Governments, has dealt with these issues over the years because of the franchise agreements with the towns. It seems like maybe a good place to take this issue and get all the municipalities to support.
That's actually a great idea. Thank you. Well, I'll pursue that.
And I'm sure we'd be happy to support it, probably take it through the Government Operations Committee at the next round. Mike?
Exactly so, Martha. At the town board meeting in Dryden, Jason Leifer, who's been part of that TCAG committee, talked about the fact that Charter was coming in to try to do the franchises across the county again. So that it's a good time to be looking at this.
Next TCAG meeting is the fourth Thursday of the month. So we could try to see about getting on that. On, I think Michelle does the agenda, right? Okay, we know people, so.
You know what would be helpful to me personally is if I had access to all your emails. How would we arrange
the easiest, the quickest and easiest thing, this is for the public in general, is to send Kathy a message and say, please share this with all the legislators. And I will say right now, there's the new legislators are bouncing around trying to figure out about. Okay, should be up to date now. But it's easiest if you send a message to Kathy at covert@tompkins-co.org. Kathy's happy to send it, or if she's not here, one of the other clerks, Katrina or Michelle, will forward it to all of us. That's a simple thing. The other flavor is that our formula is just the person's first initial and then last name @tompkins-co.org.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks, George. We appreciate you coming. And Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Is there any other municipal official lurking somewhere that I don't see them? Okay, great. Legislators, privilege of the floor. Nothing to say. Mike and then Amanda.
I just wanted to say congratulations, Martha, on your election as chair. Congratulations, Anna, on your election as vice chair. And I know it'll be a good year.
Thanks very, very much, Mike. Appreciate that. Amanda.
Hi. Testing out the microphone. No, I just wanted to say very briefly thank you to the people of District 12 for giving me this opportunity. I feel very privileged to be here. I also wanted to thank Will Burbank, who is no longer in this seat, but he held this seat for a long time and I think did a great job. And, of course, I want to thank my family who left already, but at least they came. For their support, and I'm really happy and excited to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda. Anyone else? Rich.
Thank you, Martha. I got a letter from one of our constituents, not in my district, but commenting on the jail, and said they watch on television, but they also said they don't need or want a reply. But I felt obligated to say I did get the letter. I thought it was very well written and thoughtful. And I'd be happy to talk about the jail with anybody about the issues you raise. So thanks for writing.
Thanks, Rich. Leslin.
Thank you, Martha. Thanks to all of you who stepped up for leadership roles on this body, chair and vice chair. Dan, I want to thank you for your graciousness. In that moment, I really was hoping that our chair, our current chair, who touts to be one of innovation, would have started off her chairwomanship with just having two vice chairs. Not sure what happened to her today, as you both are amazingly talented people, so thank you. I do want to take this opportunity to thank Paula Younger. Paula, I am going to miss you tremendously. I will publicly say I worry about what will happen with the work around diversity and inclusion. When we took this on and I was looking for a place for it to live that actually would have legs, and it's not depending solely on me because I have a full-time job, to make these changes happen in the county, you stepped up. And I always say this line, and I'll say it again, despite what many people think or what has been out there, that, you know, the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee hasn't done anything. There's been an amazing amount of work that you have done, that we have done together, and I'm thankful to you for all of it. I look forward, thank you for sharing with me just some of your thoughts as well, and for your friendship. We didn't get to do lunch often, maybe once, although we promise we'll try to do it often, more often than that. But I think this county as a whole did not value in the moment the tremendous amount of work that you brought here, and the wisdom and the knowledge and the skill sets that you put forward. Often there were questions about what did you do. And I don't think that people really knew what you did. Somebody recently said the hard stuff that other folks didn't want to do. And indeed it was. Some of the hardest things that needed to be done as a county, you did. You took it in stride. You are one of the most organized people I have ever met. I swear you have every sticky note nicely organized from 11 years ago when somebody might have just wrote you a quick note about something. But it has benefited all of us because you brought that historic knowledge, because you kept those binders with all of it in it. You came to us and brought a performance management system that I wish was implemented because it was stellar. And I really wish that we all had the foresight to go with it. I remember watching your wall with the timeline of how it's supposed to flow. So I do want to publicly thank you from the bottom of my heart and let you know that I, for one, will miss you, and I know that this county will miss you tremendously for the work that you did, for your attitude as a strong black woman in this county. So thank you very much. And we'll be hanging out some more, I'm sure. After that, I also want to invite all of you and everybody who's watching to the annual GX annual Martin Luther King Community Community Breakfast. Goodness, I'm doing breakfast and luncheon on Saturday, January 13th. It begins at 9 a.m. The formal program begins at around 9:30. We are really pleased and honored to have our guest speaker this year be the president of Ithaca College, Dr. Shirley Criado. We're also happy to introduce as one of our invocation speaker at the breakfast, Father Augustine Chumo, who is the pastor of the Immaculate Conception Church. Father Chumo, I think, is from Kenya. He's been in this community for a couple of years. And so we always use this breakfast as an opportunity to introduce to a different part of the community some of the leaders who are new to our community. So I invite all of you to please come and enjoy breakfast, or if you'd like to roll up your sleeves and come and help serve, wash some dishes, flip some eggs, throw some pancakes, you know, roll around some sausages. We start at like 6 o'clock in the morning, so the breakfast is ready, hot and ready at 9. So please give GIAC a call, 272-3622, if you'd like to volunteer, come and help serve. But definitely come out and be a part of this program, which we consider to be the single largest event in Tompkins County for the last 30 years, celebrating the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. So please join us on Saturday, January 13th. This is followed by the Monday Day on MLK celebration. We invite people to make it a day on, not a day off. That will happen like the breakfast at the Beverly J. Martin Elementary School. This year, the focus of the Day on celebration is the Poor People's Campaign. This program on Monday is put on by a number of collaboration of agencies in the community. So we invite you to come enjoy lunch at 11 to 12:30. After a number of years, we're returning to having some working groups and workshops following lunch, because we want it to really be action-oriented. And so the organizers of this event is having that happen, as well as activities for children. So please do come out on Saturday for the breakfast. Make Monday a day on where we are actually planning and taking action steps towards social justice issues in our community and in our nation. And you all are invited to attend as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Henry Granison and then Anna Kellis.
Yes, I'd like to also thank the voters in the 3rd District for supporting me. But I'd also like to thank the people involved with the prepayment of taxes in New York State, that Jay Franklin's office, and the assessment's office, and also the Chamberlain's office of the city worked many hours, overtime, and everything else to get that, to get the assessments awarded in time for New York State residents to pay their taxes early to qualify for deductions. So I'd just like to thank those people.
Very well put, Henry. Town of Dryden clerk as well. I was on the phone with her, as were many, many other people. Thank you. Anna?
I just wanted to add my appreciation and thank you to Paula for your work. It has been a pleasure to work with you. And I don't know if there's much that I could add to Leslin's very thorough description of your awesomeness and your organization, but I would say that it has been a pleasure to work with another very strong, confident, articulate woman in government, and that has been an inspiration for me, so thank you. And I also wanted to thank Mike for his leadership over the last few years. I appreciate it. It's been educational for all of us, I think, with much grace. So thank you. And Dan as well, thank you. You have been a mentor for me for the last few years and were one of my main mentors when I came in. So hopefully that will continue in this process as I learn a new role that you held quite well. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Dan. Anybody else? Okay, I do have a couple of things for Chair's report. First, 2018, I'm not going to say 2018 easily for a while, but 2018 committees, as Mike asked legislators to serve during the month of January in the place for new legislators to fill in the slots where their retiring legislators had served on those committees. I would like to ask each of you we're going to get the calendars out. Anna and I will find time, blocks of time, when we can meet with each of you in the next, I hope, week, so that we can spend time the following week to really put together a committee list for 2018. And then the hope is to be able to formally appoint those committees at the next legislature meeting. So look for that email from us to try to find times and when we can sit down with each of you individually. I would also just like to follow up on something that a number of us started in the fall. And we had a meeting last Friday with by video conference right here with two representatives of the governor's administration, Letizia Tagliaferro. Is on the governor's executive committee, and Jessica DeSerce is the regional representative from Central New York. So we were able to have a meeting with them on Friday with Paula, Anna, Dave, Mike, Rich,
as well as Mike Hall from the airport, the I'm going to forget some people, Ray Schlauder, chair of the Intermunicipal Task Force on county courts, Scott Miller, judge, county and city court judge, who spoke very persuasively on the question of a third court, and whom am I forgetting was there. Frank Krupa came as well. We had a number of issues that we wanted to address. We got through in an hour, and we felt, I would say, very positive about the response. Letizia was extremely supportive of the things we were saying. These were asking for third county court judge, urging that the OASIS support for the Alcohol and Drug Council detox facility be sort of moved along. Rich raised the issue of the Lanson School for Girls that is unused right now. We talked about the airport grant, talked about the DOT relocation, and we felt things were very well received. And we talked about the jail variances. And Lizzie offered to call the Commission on Corrections. We might have movement on that. So as of last time I checked, Jonathan or Paula, have you seen anything on email? Okay. We might have some good news, I'm really hoping, in the next day or two. The issue came back to me today that Mike and Rich had written a letter to the Commission on Corrections asking for extension of the variances. I was told today that that request has to come from either the sheriff or the jail administrator. They wouldn't ask for that unless they were, I dare say, prepared to do something about it. So fingers crossed, and we'll certainly let everybody know as soon as we find anything out about the variances. Mike.
I did sign that letter with Rich, but Rich drafted it, and it was a magnificent letter. It really was. It was a three-pager. He hit every one of the topics having to do with the jail and our efforts to reduce the population over there with great elegance, and he deserves credit.
Thank you, Mike. I agree, absolutely. It was a terrific letter, and in fact, I asked for, and Katrina today sent me the Word document so that Ray could just put it on their letterhead and send the same information. So all that information would be in with the request on the record. So I am very hopeful that we have good news. I will say that the commission had given us till January 10th to remove the bunk beds. That's the sort of physical work to take to make it impossible to double bunk. Aurel Lamaro had already brought in McPherson to start doing that work. And then I was able to get Paul on the phone to say, take a long break, guys. Slow down. Since we had till January 10th, in any case. Ray did tell me today that they had boarded out four women over the weekend, but because of classification issues, and that would have been true whether the variances were in or not. So based on the numbers of folks that we have, we didn't, knock on wood, hadn't had to go over and board anybody extra out. So we'll keep in touch with you on this. And then other things there's other follow-up we're going to take. And those of you who are going to the NYSAC conference, I hope you'll plan to add Wednesday early afternoon meetings at the governor's office. We suggested that we would be in town January 31st. We'd like to do that, and Letizia seemed very interested in helping to put some more meetings together for us. So stay tuned on all that, and I'll let you know if we've got any specific movement on any of these issues. Any questions on any of that? Okay, thanks, and many, many thanks to everybody who pitched in to come to that meeting and help to prepare so that we could make that happen, including the clerk staff and IT that worked very hard to get the video feed up and going. All right, Paula, county administrator.
Just a very brief report.
at the last meeting, I spoke to all of you that the county attorney and I did all of the paper signing to prepare us for the sale of the old library. So on December 22nd, we sold a building and we bought one on the same day. So we did the closings for both the old library as well as the Tompkins Trust building, which will now become the home for the new Tompkins Center for History and Culture.
Congratulations, and thank you both very much. Many thanks to Rich for doing heavy lifting on the sale or the purchase of the trust company building. Wonderful. Jonathan, are any questions for Paula? Jonathan, County Attorney's report.
A couple things. One little bit of a correction. We did close on the old library. What we did on the trust building is we entered into an agreement. We're not going to actually close until the trust company is ready to move out. So that'll be in, they estimate in April. But we have the agreement, so everything will happen. It's just we won't close until they actually move out. I did actually want
to... Could you get a little closer to your mic, please?
Oh, sure. Couple meetings ago, Anna had asked me about an agreement with Uber, and I said we will get there. Well, we are there. We have an agreement with Uber at the airport.
Great. Thank you.
And that's my report.
Thank you, Jonathan. Any questions? Leslie?
Can you say more what that means? We have an agreement with Uber, as in they'll begin operating here in Tompkins County?
Sure. When they passed the law allowing for basically Uber and Lyft to operate in New York State, the law said that in order to operate at airports, airports would have the ability, if they wish to require an agreement, which could require that the companies pay some money to use the airport and follow the rules and regulations of the airport, et cetera. We very quickly were able to do an agreement with Lyft. We had more time negotiating an agreement with Uber, but now they're both done. So they're both using the airport. They're both paying the fee. They're both agreeing to cooperate with all the rules, et cetera. And so far, so good.
Thank you, Jonathan. Rick Snyder, welcome back from
thank
the South.
Thank you very much. I wanted to thank the legislators for having a little bit over a week off and being able to spend some time with my family. That was very good for us. But it was very eye-opening and surprising to come back and find so many changes. With Polly, I had just talked to her, I think at 7:30 the night that I left on Friday, the Friday before, and I had no idea that I was going to have to accommodate this change, Paul. And hearing that Tom Knight would be leaving with who works well on our room tax and all the things that he does, there's a lot of changes going on. And the closings that I came back to that Jonathan just mentioned, I wonder where all this money came from and where all this money was going. And I figured, like, I better find out soon. But I wanted to let everyone know that two of the people that had mentored me and had meant a lot to me in the four-plus years that I've been here have been Joe Mariana and Paula Younger. Between the two of them, if I ever had a need or ever had something that was over my head and that I need to go to someone who could find out real quick administratively what was going on, it was either Paula or it was Joe. And I know that they brought a lot of historical perspective to the county. They were go-to people that if you were a new department head, like I was for quite a while, I felt it was important to know who you could trust and who you could go to and get accurate information and get good information. And not only that, but it was warm and pleasant, and I always felt that that they were available. And it is going to take some for all of us to be able to find those individuals who can fill those shoes. And I just wanted to let Paula know that she has been very highly regarded by me in time that I've spent working with her. I also want to encourage all the five new legislators that if there's ever a time that you need to come in and see me, I know I have appointments made with some of you already in this new year. Please feel that the finance department or the finance office, it's not a real exciting place. A lot of people don't like to come there. They don't like to hear my reports. They don't like to come to our office to talk about numbers. But if you have a question, and some of you have expressed an interest already, please feel free to email me or come by my office or give me a phone call. My direct line is 274-5502, and you can reach me there almost any day, and I would be glad to set appointments to give you a little walk through the finance department. And I promise you next time we'll probably have a sales tax report for you, probably for November and December. But that's all I have for this evening.
Well, I highly recommend that you ask him to talk to you about taxes for hours at a time, which we've done. I've harassed you.
Anna, you're not invited because... No, I'm just kidding. Anna has taken me up on these invitations from time to time, as well as some of the others have. But I always want you to be able to feel free to come by. We're on the second floor in the old jail building. We take up the entire floor. If you pay your taxes there in person, that's on one side. But the accounting and purchasing and payroll side is on the opposite side. So we'll give you a welcome if you stop by. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. And I want to be there when you explain the sales tax agreement to them. And I know that you will be, I can't believe 4 years you've been here.
Four and a half years already.
So you're going to be the one who walks Jason Molino through all those, I won't say minefields, all those issues. And I think, we're delighted that you're certainly, now you're the old hand here. And we have a lot of faith in your being able to do that.
So. I look forward to working with you, Martha, and working with our new county administrator. And I know who to put on the task board now for our next meeting, for Tompkins Task.
And speaking of Jason, I heard him on, and I know Mike heard him on the radio, maybe a couple of you did this morning on WHCU, and he sounded great. He sounded like he'd already been here like 6 months or so. So I'm really excited. I think it'll be a great move. All right, any questions for Rick? All right, thank you very much for those reports. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? All right, then I will go through the consent agenda, and if there's anything that you would like discussed or needs to be pulled, please just say so. Resolution A, document 7514, resolution to urge a repeal of portions of 16-ADM-11 that requires shelter payments from individuals with modest earned and unearned income. Resolution B, document 7521, budget adjustment for park grant continuation in 2018, youth services. Resolution C, document 7454A, delegation of authority to authorize certain tax refunds and credits of $2,500 and under. And Resolution D, document 7455, delegation of authority to authorize certain tax and solid waste fee refunds under $500. And I have appointments to Health and Human Services, under Health and Human Services Committee. Office of the Aging Advisory Committee, Regina Gold and Satomi Hill. The Youth Services Board, Bernice Yarosh. To the Environmental Management Council, Ann Klingensmith. And to the public, to the Advisory Board on Indigent Representation, Jason Leifer and Jerome Meyersack. Can I get a motion on the consent agenda? Moved by Leslin, seconded by Dave. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. We can, oh, it's early enough. We're going to go through our reports. Public Safety Committee, Rich John, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. I have a couple resolutions, actually three resolutions to present. I would start with Resolution E, authorization to accept statewide interoperable communications grant and budget adjustments, Department of Emergency Response. And I would so move.
Seconded by Glenn. Okay. Go ahead, Rich.
Lee Shurtleff is here with us tonight, so if anybody wanted to ask him questions, I'm sure he could come up and speak to this issue a lot better than I could. But this is an important change, as I understand it, in how we're going to be funding our emergency communications, that this grant is the beginning of an annual program that will allow us to continually update what we're doing in emergency communications. And to anybody involved in it, it's something that's pretty important because the technology is changing so fast and there's so much more to do. So this is really good news from my standpoint.
Anybody else? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thanks, Rich.
I have Resolution F, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay and replacement pay reimbursement, emergency response. I would move.
Seconded by Glenn. Any discussion? This is a short form roll call.
Ms. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Are there any noes? That's unanimous.
And I have Resolution G, a resolution recognizing the 28-year contribution of Stu Bergman as a member of the Stop DWI Advisory Board. And this resolution is, as the title suggests, just noting the very long service, both as a member and as chair of the Stop DWI Advisory Board. And I had said this in at the Public Safety Committee, but I'm continually impressed with the number and the quality of the volunteers that step up on advisory boards for our county. And it really makes a difference for how we do our work because there's so many people thinking very hard about the underlying issues. And so while this resolution recognizes one person who served for a very long time on the Stop DWI board, I would like to just mention all the other people who help us out quite a bit. So I so move.
Thank you, Rich. Is there a second? Seconded by Deborah. Any discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Thanks very much. That's unanimous.
And then I would just report that we had a meeting on December 21st of the Public Safety Committee, and we had a presentation from the software provider for something called SwiftReach Demo, which, well, he did the demo, and Christina Dravis came in and talked to us about what this capability will do. If you think of our emergency response as being a 911 system that members of the public can call into, that's certainly very important. We've maintained that service for many years. What this new software system will allow us to do is to send out communications to targeted groups. It's an opt-in system so that members of the public can decide what kind of alerts they want to get, say for weather alerts or traffic accidents that are causing traffic trouble or severe weather. You can get on a subscription to get reports. You can tailor it, say, to specific addresses so that if you are a landlord and you own property, and this was a question I asked, you can actually get reports if there's an emergency involving a building you're responsible for. It's a real big change in our emergency response and what we can do in protecting the public. So it was a great presentation.
Thank you, Rich. Any questions? Anna.
I would just add one small thing, that it's an app, downloadable on your phone, Swift 911. Highly recommend playing with it. It's a lot of fun. It's incredibly usable, user-friendly, so.
I should have said it's an app, but yes. I should be more technically alert there.
That's quite all right. I think it's both. So.
Yep. And your next meeting is?
It would be the third Thursday of January, and I don't have that in front of me. If somebody has a calendar handy.
The
18th of January.
And a reminder, so that'll be the 2017 folks plan on coming to that meeting. Just don't want to mess up everybody's calendars. So so plan on that if you were on public safety and this past year. Okay. That it, Rich?
That's it.
Thank you very much.
Unless new committees are assigned.
Kathy just said unless new committees are already assigned by them, but I thought we agreed I could appoint them as of February 1st. I see furrowed brows. Unclear?
I don't know. I'd have to consult with the county attorney.
I don't see why not.
It just really makes it hard for if we want to really continue the business of the committees. And I can talk to Mike about say my positions or whatever, but because he's not on other committees, but it gets really confusing and people don't know how to plan their schedule out for the rest of the month. And I think it's better just if we can just go ahead and do that and say February 1st we'll have the new committees.
Yeah, I mean, we essentially do that in the past. It's usually like January 10th or something like that, but I don't see any difference between February 1 and January 10th.
Okay. I think we're going to go with that. Okay. All right. Any questions? Deborah? Okay. Thank you. Health and Human Services Committee, Anna Kellis.
So we have not had a meeting since the last time I gave a report in the legislative session in December. We do have two meetings for all committee members for HHS. So I understand that will include new legislators that are filling, which you guys all know. We have one on the 16th, and that is a special committee meeting. And if I understand that, is it 4:30, Michelle?
I think it's at 5.
Five?
I think so.
Okay. So that one will be at 5, and that is to review some department grants that are needed before the general, regular, scheduled monthly HHS committee meetings, so we have to do that ahead of time. The other one is the regular committee meeting, monthly meeting, and that is on Monday the 22nd at 4:30 p.m. That's everything.
Thanks, Anna. Any questions? Sounds good. By the way, for if any new legislator wants to get the full packet on any committee, just ask one of the clerks. You can be on the distribution list for print or email only, you know, just for the agenda, the cover sheet or the full packet. It's up to you. Just ask. Amanda.
So you said the 16th at 5?
Yes.
I have a GEO meeting at 5:15. Is that accurate?
Those are both special, so they'll go really quick.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really fast that day. Okay. Great. Thank you. Facilities and Infrastructure, Dave McKenna, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. F&I has not met since the last legislature meeting. We will be meeting in these chambers at 3 o'clock on the 9th. That's my report.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions? Transportation Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Yes, we met on December 18th, and as I said the last report, we were going to work on the idea of a traffic study for Route 13. Fernando de Aragon came in with some of the most recent traffic counts that we have on various sections of Route 13. We began looking at those. We were kind of dividing the Route 13 up between the area north of the village of Dryden, the area from the village of Dryden to Ithaca, and the area from the area through Ithaca, and then also the area south of Ithaca. I guess we got four sections there, come to think about it. We fast decided that we really need to better understand what's going on with the traffic through the city on Meadow Street and Fulton Street particularly. With all of the things happening there, that we know that the lights were retimed, but they're still backup of traffic through there. So we intend, provided this committee continues, which I certainly hope it does, we need to bring in the city traffic engineers and ask them about what's going on down there so that that can be a part of our understanding as we go forward trying to devise a Route 13 study. Just as an aside, there have been two fairly severe accidents on Route 13 north of Warren Road through the NYSEG intersection. Not loss of life, but there was a tractor-trailer that jackknifed and held up traffic all one morning on Route 13. There was a rear-ender this morning on the overlap area, and that delayed traffic a lot. So the bad roads, bad weather, means some more difficulties. And if I can just add an aside to that one, it's slow down and be safe.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Mike. Any questions? Okay, very good. Government Operations, Dan Klein, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. Government Operations Committee has not met since the last legislature meeting. The only meeting we have remaining this month is a short meeting on the 16th at 5:15. And I have one resolution, which is Resolution H, establishing the 2018 meeting dates. And I just would have you note that it's the regular schedule, first and third Tuesday of every month, with two exceptions on Thursday, September 20th, and Thursday, November 8th. Just make sure those are in your calendar. And I move this resolution.
Thank you, Dan. A second by Anna. Any questions, comments? Dan, Mike?
I just want to comment that July 3rd is an absolutely terrible day for a meeting. If you're not taking off that Monday and Tuesday for July 4th holiday, you should be. So, but I have no better solution to it. So. Thank you.
Is that a motion for a possible amendment?
I don't know what I would amend it to. I don't even know where you'd move it, to be honest with you.
The Thursday?
Yeah, but Thursday's just as bad, because some people are going to take off Thursday, Friday, which they should also do.
So, the whole week.
It's a pickle.
Dan.
I kind of suggest that we accept this for now. We can always, whoever's in Government Operations Committee can always take a look at it again. There's plenty of time.
The committee's pretty much locked in stone after this. Yes, it's fine.
All right, everybody who's right now trying to book your travel plan, ask Mike Singler what to do. So, all right, I think that's a wise decision, Dan, to go ahead at this moment, but I think it's worth looking at in case the Thursday is any better than the Tuesday. But it's a good point. Any other conversation, any other discussion? All right, ready to vote. All in favor? That's unanimous. Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right, thank you very much. Thanks, Dan. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee will meet this Thursday, 2 days from now, at the 4th at 3 o'clock in this room. It should be a very interesting agenda. We're going to have Scott Vanderpoel from TCAT come in and make a presentation. And in your packets is not all, but a big chunk of a facility study or should be in your packet. I'm looking through mine right now. Katrina got it late. We'll be sending that to everybody. Of the facility study that TCAT did in September 2016. So we're going to be discussing that with Scott, as well as some other issues with him. We're also going to have an additional update from Irene Weiser on the non-pipe alternative request for proposals from NYSEG. And one item that's on the agenda, which is a surprise to some of us, Jonathan Wood met with Katie Borghella and Megan McDonald and me and Martha Armstrong to talk about this proposed housing fund. And to start with, what are we legally able to do? And thanks to Jonathan's research, we learned that county money is not allowed at the moment in state law to be spent on affordable housing. We were surprised, but there's a list of 26 or so, 28 things that counties are allowed to spend local money on, and affordable housing is not in there. However, with Jonathan's help, Megan wrote up a resolution and a memo for how we could ask that be amended. So that'll be on the agenda on Thursday. I'm hoping that we'll pass at the legislature on January 16th. And we've already communicated this and sent the materials to NYSEC, asking that it be put on the, I think the standing committee at NYSEC would be the Economic Development Committee. And I heard back today that they are putting that through their internal processes, and I expect that will probably go through, but they will want to see it come out of our full legislature. The change would just be to add the words development management and maintenance and management of affordable housing as one of the allowed uses for local dollars. The surprise I had was that we have a number of programs that are related supportive of affordable housing. Those are all with federal dollars, and I just never put that together before. So thank you, Jonathan, for bringing that to our attention and for the quick work on a potential fix for that. So that'll be on the agenda on Thursday. Any questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Next committee, Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Mike Sigler, Vice Chair.
Hi, thank you, Martha. We had a terrific meeting just moments ago. So at 5 o'clock, we had our meeting. It was really fun. We passed a couple of things. Rich John stole our thunder there because, you know, it was the replacement pay and the communications grant for the Emergency Response Department. So those two passed, they obviously just passed again. We also did some resolutions. You're going to like these two. We accepted a grant at the committee level from the Clean Energy Communities Program of New York State. This has to do with the greening of our county fleet and also with the much heralded Business Energy Navigator Program. So that is, we are still moving ahead with that. We just moved that out of committee. You're going to see that at the next meeting of the county legislature. We also did strategic tourism implementation grants for Historic Ithaca for the Joint Heritage Tourism Program. And we did some allocations. We did we bumped up some allocations at the strategic tourism. So you'll see all those at the next meeting for the county legislature. Next budget meeting has not been set. That's pretty much about it. Tom Knipe was at the meeting today. He talked a little bit about the STPB. I asked him, since he's leaving the county employee and going over to the city, if he would do something kind of like an exit interview. You know, he's been with us a long time, did a lot for the STPBB. I would like to find out what he thinks is good, what needs to be done there. He agreed to kind of do that, if maybe we could pull together a few questions for him so it's a little more directed. And I'm happy to say the tourism board had the same idea I had. So they asked him to do the same thing. So it should be a pretty interesting report. I mean, he's really headed up a lot of things there. So, and certainly maybe he can give us a path forward with that kind of knowledge, especially since we'll be working, I think, pretty closely with him at the city. So that is it. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Mike. Any questions? Mike, are you saying that would be a report he'd write or a meeting where he'd talk through things with?
I asked him to do it at our next budget meeting, but certainly if you know, one of the other committees wanted to do it. I think he's doing it for tourism. He said on the 16th, but don't quote me on the date. Certainly can call Katie or Tom and find out what date he was doing that. You don't want to make him do it twice, but, you know, he's still on our payroll. So.
And he leaves when? End of January?
End of January, but is my understanding.
But you don't have a budget committee set.
I think he's on the schedule to give a presentation at the next legislature meeting.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
But I'm not sure the details of that presentation.
So if you have any questions, I would just forward them on to Tom and say, okay, what do you think of this?
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thanks very much, Mike.
Thanks.
All right. Jail Study Committee, Rich John, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. And thank you, Martha and Mike, for your kind words about the variance letter. We'll see if it does anything. So that's out there. On the jail study committee, I could have talked about it at public safety, but I did want to mention that the interview process is underway for the criminal justice coordinator position. This was the new position funded in our 2018 budget for someone who will be looking after our ATI programs, alternatives to incarceration. So that hire is in process. We did have a meeting on December 21st. We had some discussion about space planning. For non-bed expansion at the jail to try to upgrade some of the meeting spaces and the service capabilities that we would have at the jail, including the medical facility and the kitchen. And this is just getting underway. But with our reentry program that we're talking about and the other capabilities we want to have available at the jail, the space is clearly not sufficient to do those things. So that's what the purpose of those discussions have been. But I did want to mention just perhaps the most important part of our last jail study committee meeting, which was a discussion about whether we should continue to have a jail study committee. This is a temporary committee. It was set up around the summer of 2016 to address the immediate issues of New York State withdrawing our variance. It functioned during the CGR consultant study that they prepared and delivered to us last summer. And we used it, that study and the work of the committee, in making our budget decisions this last cycle. But it does seem that at this point we know what we want to do. We've set the budget, and the specific space planning issues, the discussion at the jail study committee was they probably could be handled by public safety, and it might be time to fold that back in and have special meetings if we need them to expand and talk about the specific jail issues. So I think that's probably where we're going to go, but that's obviously up to the legislature. So that's my report.
Thank you, Rich. Any questions? Leslin.
Rich, can you say more what you mean by the hiring process is on the way for the criminal justice coordinator, as in has there been a search committee assembled?
There has been a search committee assembled. Paula has been leading it, and we've met. We've reviewed the applications that have been submitted and done some preliminary discussion about who we would like to try to interview. And I believe we're set to meet again this Friday at 1:30 to discuss that and also to talk about what kinds of questions we want to ask the candidates.
May I ask who's on the search committee?
Rich, Anna, Pat Buchel of our probation department, Sharon McDougall of mental health, Susie Cook, because of her longstanding involvement with CGATI and knowledge of the programming and stuff we have in the community, Ken Lansing,
Matt Van Houten.
Matt, thank you. Yeah, our district attorney.
I would add we're planning on involving the members of the
CJATI, definitely, when we get to the point of having finalists, that we would want to involve CJATI and have them also be a part of the process.
Thank you.
Do you mean the CJATI would interview finalists, plural, or just the last person?
No. Well, if they're a finalist, we would hope that we'd have at least two finalists.
Leslin, do you have anything else?
I have a follow-up. Has there been any consideration, or was there any consideration of including A or some of the community members who, you know, had come to us when this whole thing sort of started several years ago as part of the search committee? Some of them were still actively involved with the CGR study, still coming to meetings. Is there a reason why, or was there any consideration of including any of them in the search committee?
And I've been referring more to it as an interview committee, because it is a department-level position, but, of course, it does have high visibility and all of the connections for the very reasons you just mentioned. When putting the interview committee together, it was thinking more of those departments and programs that the position would be interacting with and all of the sort of coordination pieces that would be in play. We can certainly discuss that when we meet on Friday in terms of a need to involve community, but we were more or less focusing on those internal aspects of our system and how this position would be working with them and coordinating the various programs and services.
Thank you, and thanks for the consideration of discussing it at your next meeting.
Sure.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, is there a date for the next meeting?
That would be the January 18th date, as well as public safety. It would follow public safety if that meeting occurs. But that's, again, to be decided.
I think, being on that committee, I think we were, to continue the theme of continuing the 2017 business, the last big piece I remember was that we were going to see if Labella had any new information and any even basic sketches or anything that we were.
Let's have another meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was the expectation at the end of that committee meeting. Yeah.
And that's fine. I think we're just drawing to a point. We do need to make that decision about wrapping this up and folding it back in.
Yep. Very good. We're going to be having lots of discussion about committees in the next week, week and a half. And I would just point out that that includes, we're asking all of you to think about which responsibilities are assigned to different committees. There are some things that move around, whether it's the TCAT has been in different places, tourism has been in different places. So just based on your experience, is such and such a committee, does it have too much, does it have not enough, and, you know, is something more appropriate in a different committee? Should we have, is there another new committee that we haven't thought of that we might want to consider to forward a particular project or initiative? So that all is part of our discussion as with the chair and vice chair with each of you in the next week and a half. And I would ask that Kathy or Michelle, one of you, send that list of sort of the responsibilities of each committee as they've been for 2017. Send that out to all of us so everybody can see what the list includes. Thanks a million. That's great. All right. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean-Claiborne, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee will meet on January 24th, 3:30, Old Jail Conference Room. That's it.
All right. Any questions? Very good. Thank you. All right. The minutes of the December 19th, 2017 legislature meeting. Can I get a motion on those?
So
moved by Shauna, seconded by Leslin. Any comments or changes? I almost feel like there should be a drum roll. All in favor of the minutes as submitted? Yeah, if you weren't here, you can still vote. Any opposed? Oh, my.
I was just going to say, is someone going
to
vote?
Got to tip my hat to Dooley.
13.
Well, I was
going to
do that, Mike, but I didn't think it would be appreciated.
All right. I would ask for us to have a break and then have an executive session, as I said before, to talk about a contract issue. So can I get a motion to go into the executive session? Moved by Deborah, seconded by Ann. Once we go out into a session, I do not expect us to do business after the executive session. So
contract negotiations.
It's contract negotiations, yeah. All in favor of executive session?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. We'll take a 10-minute break. We can make it our 10-minute break and break down the cameras, and then we'll rejoin. Thank you.